We'll read from Daniel chapter 3, maybe a few verses, but kindly deal with the time period and the king and some of the things that was going on in the book of Daniel, and at least some of the things that Daniel wrote about. In Daniel, first of all, we know that Daniel and Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego, those four men, those four children of God, had been taken into bondage right along with Israel and all the rest of the Jews. King Nebuchadnezzar had conquered Israel, and though these men might have been in bondage to King Nebuchadnezzar and his kingdom, they still in their heart and in their life and their physical being said, we'll not bow down to King Nebuchadnezzar or these false gods that these heathens serve and worship. Thank God. There was four men, hallelujah, in the whole country that said, we're going to stand with a true and living God, although we might be in captivity, although you might have the rule over us right now, although our political power is crooked and perverse, we're still going to serve the true and living God. Amen. I like that. I like the characteristic of these four men. If you go back into our history, you can see that for years, God's people have been taken and held captive. And they've been put into prisons. I have to say this week in and week out how Zach just touched on stuff and, I mean, said things. It just lines up. God just lines things up in Sunday school. But for years and years, you go back and you see how Christians were put into prisons. You can see how Christians were martyred. But thanks be unto God, even when men were bound, the Word of God made them free. Amen. I mean, even when they were bound to the stakes, even when they were chained to an old stake and had the sticks and rubble piled up around them, thank God, and they were about to be burned to death for the cause of Christ, they were still free in their soul. That's right. I say, when man's laws contradicts the laws of God, we are to always line up with the laws of God. I mean, we can see that in our land in 2015. I believe in obeying the laws of the land. I believe in doing what the law says. But I'll promise you one thing. There's some laws that God laid down. And when man contradicts the laws of God with his little ideas and his laws, I'm going to tell you what I think we ought to do. We ought to still go with the laws of God. We ought to still obey God over man. We ought to still say whatever the Lord says is what we're going to do. That's right. That's what these old boys did. See, Nebuchadnezzar laid the law down. He had his own laws in his land. But them boys said, you know what? There's a law higher than yours, King Nebuchadnezzar, and we're just going to stay with God. I like that about them. In our day of uncertainties, we ought to be rooted and grounded more so than ever before in the history of our world. And when hard times or persecutions come, we should stand strong in the Lord and never deny him. Always stand strong in the Lord. Man, what a day we're living in where persecutions are coming. In Daniel 3:1, let's read and see what it says. Verse number 1 says, Nebuchadnezzar, the king, made an image of gold, whose height was 60 cubits, and the breadth thereof 6 cubits. He set it up in the plain of Dura, in the province of Babylon. Here Nebuchadnezzar has made this idol for the people to fall down before him and worship. That's what it's for. They took some gold and liquefied it and poured it into this mold, and they made them a graven image, and they set this image up, and Nebuchadnezzar gave the commandment that the people of the country and all the land of all the nation, they're supposed to come out when the music is being played and the time of worship has been set for, you are to bow down and worship this false god. He had done that. He had made that decree. We know that he had set up all types of music to be played. If you'll read on, you'll see, and folks were to come and bow to this false god and worship this false god, and those who didn't were to be cast into a fiery furnace. You know the story. But man, isn't that amazing that they were supposed to persecute, that they were going to ultimately kill the person that wouldn't bow down and worship this false god? That was the law of the land. I see this in this chapter 3, that there was men that stood for God even at the expense of their life. There was people that was willing to stand for God even if it cost them their life. Oh boy. Shoot, I know of many so-called top-notch believers today that will sell out for a whole lot less than their life. Amen. I mean, but I'm talking about some men that, you talking about the odd man out. They wasn't the four of them in the whole stinking nation that believed in the true and living God, that had enough about them to take a stand for the true and living God. And it was going to cost them their life if the truth was ever found out that they was not going to listen to King. But I'm telling you, we're living in a land today, ladies and gentlemen, where we've got people's names in the spotlight, but they'll compromise for a whole lot less than a life. I'm telling you, they've compromised for the cause of a dollar bill. They've compromised for the cause of the fellowship of their children. They've compromised for fame and for fortune, for every little minute thing in this world. I see men going back and they're worshiping other gods and they're bowing down to idols and they're forsaking the true and living God and the things that they once stood for, they no longer stand for. So at one point, either they're wrong now or they was wrong then. Somewhere along the line they need to repent. Somewhere along the line they need to stand up with a loud microphone and apologize to a lot of people for either being wrong now or being wrong back then, for preaching the blue John off of sin back in the day and compromising. I'm telling you, there used to be a time when old time preachers loved them old gospel hymns that excluded the physical body. But I'm telling you, we're living in a day where a man's willing to compromise the old hymns and get him a set of drums and get him some electric instruments and start jamming to Jesus. And I'm telling you, it's a sensual worship. But they do that, friend, so that they can get great gain and fellowship still with the ungodly. Amen. But here's some boys, thank God, that said, you know what? We don't care what our family does. We don't care how much money's involved. We don't care what the rest of the world thinks. You talking about the odd fellas out? They wasn't just a handful of them. They said, we're not going to go that way. We're not going to compromise. We're going to stand with a true and living God. We don't care what people say. We don't care what y'all might do to us. It might cost us our life, but we're going to die serving God. I like it. Amen. I like it. Reason I know this is because I see this. I see people that's compromised. Sure, I see it. I see them destroying people. I see people that has watched them from a distance and always been critical of them and kind of, have negative thoughts and ideas. Now that they've compromised, boy, they fell in love with them. And it's just give them a way to say, well, old brother so-and-so does it. They like this kind of music. When there's little old nobodies like me that's still standing against it, they use them against me because they're big and known and popular and successful. Sure, they're hurting people, friend. They're hurting people. I've seen it. They're doing it for fame. They're doing it for fortune. You say, what is all that fame? What is all that fortune? It's called covetousness in the Word of God. I'm telling you, we're living in a day where people are bowing out from God and they're chasing their own covetousness. I'm telling you, wanting a big name, friend, that's covetousness. Wanting to build your name up in the light, that's covetousness. Wanting to increase your bank account over following God, that becomes covetousness. God said, had no idols before me. I'm telling you, that's what has become a bunch of idolatry and covetousness in our day.
They still ain't but a handful of God's people that's standing, ladies and gentlemen. Some things ain't ever changed. I'm telling you, it just takes a while sometimes for the truth to come out. Sometimes these people never was nothing. It just took some time how to get through all the junk and see what folks is really made out of. Yes. Sure. Never been but a handful. Never will be nothing but a handful. Ain't never had nothing but a remnant. You go over and study them churches in the book of Revelation. All of those churches, Thyatira, Pergamos, Philadelphia, every one of them, they wasn't no great big crowd. Wasn't never nothing left but a little old remnant. Just a handful of godly believers that could carry on the gospel, that could carry that light to the next generation and start another church somewhere. And then after that one moved on, there was nothing left but another remnant. That's all he's ever had. That's all he ever will have. Right. Well, most time in these cases, it might take a few years, but the truth will come out. That's right. You just follow God. You want an example of people chasing the almighty dollar? I believe this with all my heart. I believe when God calls a man to pastor, I believe that man needs to pastor. I believe when God calls a man to preach and sets him in a flock, that man ought to be the under-shepherd of that flock. I personally believe that man ought to be on the job 6-7 days a week. I believe he ought to be in town. I believe he ought to be at your disposal. I believe that he ought to be able to have his hands on. I don't believe he ought to be tending everybody else's flock. I don't think he ought to be evangelizing, is what I'm saying. I don't think he ought to be running the country. And if he is going to evangelize, he don't need to draw a salary from his church. He don't need that money, this money, and everybody's money. He needs to do what God taught him to do. You know what? We got goofy pastors. Their church is going to hell. They ain't nobody living holy and clean. They got their prayer secretaries that's listening to rap music and promoting pornography. I'm telling you, they're wicked as hell. And they're running all over the country and building a name and increasing their income. And yet there's great evangelists like old Brother McVeigh that's sitting down there, ain't got a church to go preach in. I say the pastors ought to get back in their church and leave the evangelizing to the God-called evangelist, and let the pastors pastor and run that flock and do as God said. Let them be a servant to the people. That's right. Evangelists ought to evangelize. Missionaries ought to missionary. That's right. Pastors ought to pastor. Teachers ought to teach. I believe there ought to be some ministers of music. I believe whatever ministry God puts you in, you ought to get with a local church and get involved in the local church. And when God sends you out, then go out. But I don't believe God calls men to pastor to run all over this country, friend. Never believe that. You'll never find one shepherd in that Bible, one under-shepherd that went and tended to everybody else's flock. I'm going to tell you something. I believe this with all my heart. You let a pastor run off and do his thing, and while people's going to hell in his congregation, I believe that pastor will stand before God one day and give an account for that. You let people's married life get into trouble while that pastor's running all over the country. I believe as much as they'll deal with it, God's going to deal with that pastor for not helping that family like he's supposed to help that family. Listen, friend, if the shepherd is gone and the sheep run off the cliff, whose fault is that? Shepherd wasn't there to keep them from running off the cliff. That's right. That's why that rod and that staff is there to help them guide them footsteps for the word of God. You take, hey, we all know what sheep are. You take the shepherd away, ain't no telling what they're going to do. Ain't no telling where they're going to go. Ain't no telling what they might get into. I'm telling you, when pastors is out of whack, the whole flock gets out of whack. Right. But we're today in a day where we take our evangelical, listen, I'm blowing off some steam, but I'm telling you the truth. We take our evangelistical meetings in vacation hotspots. It's amazing that all the vacate all the evangelistical meetings these pastors are getting, or these vacation hotspots like Florida, or they go up to the mountains and they get them together some big kind of motorcycle rally. Why don't you get a prayer rally? Why don't you get together somewhere and agonize in prayer? Leave your little toys at home. Go grab a hold of the horns of the altar and pray till God breaks through. I heard them say, boy, we had us a pastor. We had us a meeting in Kentucky. We went to Kentucky and God showed up. Well, can I tell you what happened 2 weeks after the meeting? They took a woman out of office and put her in jail because she wouldn't give a marriage license. I said, boy, they really had a meeting in Kentucky, didn't they? Amen. When God passes through, He'll set them captives free. I mean, if they had real revival, I don't believe we had to worry about Kim Davis a whole lot today. Right. Let them pastors get busy up there in Kentucky. And let the pastors in Georgia be pastors. Amen. Let the shepherds in North Carolina be shepherds. Let them in South Carolina be South Carolina. Let them up north be up north. And let God send the evangelist as it pleases Him. Amen. That's why He called people like McVeigh. Travel this country. Who in the name of God wants to travel the country? Sleep in strange beds. Eat all kind of nasty food. Who wants to do that? I'm going to tell you what they want. They want to go to these vacation high spots where it's warm in the winter and pleasant in the summer. They can go up in the mountains in the fall and have a God-sent revival and watch the leaves change and the whole community is going to hell. Amen. But God showed up. Right. What are you talking about? I'm just talking about people bowing down to other gods. And it happens a whole lot more than what we think. The gods of fame, the gods of fortune, all this popularity, wanting to be somebody. Oh man, wanting to build my name. Listen, outside the grace of God, I ain't worth spitting on. You hear me? Ain't nothing good about me. I can't preach. I can't think for myself. And the Bible says it's not even in a man to direct his steps. I can't even walk right without God leading me. I can't take a step in the right direction if it wasn't for God and His marvelous grace. It's all about Him. God, I'm just glad that He lets me come out here on this side of David County and have a handful of people that love God and want to hear from the Word. I'm not concerned about running everywhere. I'm just glad I get to be here this week. Amen. Amen. Yeah. Grateful for that. Care if anybody ever knows me. Oh man, as long as I got my wife, she loves me. That's good. That's good. Amen. My boys, they love me. It's good. It's wonderful. Got these little youngins shouting amen for me. I'm just telling you right now, I don't give a flip, buddy. I believe it. If a pastor runs off and evangelizes all the time, that church ought to stop his check. And say, no, you got yours. You went after you pastored them all week. All you done was come up in here and dump your life, if you even come back this week. Because most time anymore, they don't even come back. They just stay out and let some junior take over. And yet they continue that salary going, hey, listen, I don't expect you to shout a whole lot. I ain't taking no money anyhow. But I'll promise you one thing. If he is sorry, honey, he can't stay home and pastor, he shouldn't get a check from that church. Amen. Amen. I tell you what most of them need to do anyway. They need to quit their little fat, sloppy junk. Grab them a shovel and go dig a ditch and be a man for a change. Amen. Laid up in the bed. Half the time you shake your hand. Feels like an old cold dead fish. Soft, sissy, fine little old hand. Feel like you've been washing dishes. I'm saying, bless God, they need to do something once in a while. Amen. They talk about Lester Roll Off. Shut up. They shouldn't even mention Lester Roll Off. There ain't no way their hands can fit around that old man of God's plow. He was a man, friend, sent from God. Amen. Say where God found him. He found him on the backside of an old plow. Right in the rear end of an old mule. God saved him out of them fields, son. He never did quit working. Amen. That old man of God worked till his dying day. I'm telling you, I thank God for the true men of God that never did bow down to the gods of this world. I tell you what we'll do though. Michael, if we ain't careful, what most of us do is we'll run over and grab one of them old timers and pull him in just so we can have that endorsement on our liberal activities. Sure. Well, we had old brother so-and-so, you did? Well, your prayer secretary is promoting pornography. What a contradiction. Right. I was wondering, what made these fellas not bow down or compromise to this old stupid God that Nebuchadnezzar had made? I believe, and I'll show you a few things and we can go, but I believe first of all, it was because it was made by man. I believe these old boys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said, we're not going to bow down because you made it, Nebuchadnezzar. It was man-made. Here's a golden image made by men, and they were told to bow down. But these fellows already knew that there was a God that wasn't made by any man. These old boys knew that there was a God in heaven that wasn't formed or fashioned by the hands of man, but contrary to all that, he's the one that formed and fashioned man himself. They said, I tell you what we'll do, King. We won't serve the God that you made, but we're going to serve the God that made us. How about that? I'd rather serve a God that made me than just one. Hey, man, I just got done talking about some of that. Yeah. You don't have to go to China anymore, folks, to find these gods. I'd do that. It ain't never changed. This world worships all kind of gods today. The churches worship all kind of gods today. The scripture says not in vain that in the last days perilous times shall come. And I can promise you that we're living in those days. We're living in perilous times. You don't have to go to China to find perilous times. You don't have to go to China to find Christians being persecuted anymore. Oh. They treated old Watchman Nee pretty bad, but son, you don't have to go over there and dig them out of the Chinese concentration camps anymore. It's happening right here in the good old United States of America. Amen. Whoever thought that because you believe the Bible and you took a stand for biblical marriage that they would come and arrest you and put you into a jail cell somewhere? Whoever thought that would happen? Hey, let me ask you a question. A big deal that we're missing, Chad, is this thing, they stripped this girl of her constitutional right. The Constitution says that she has a right and a freedom of religion. It says that there's a separation of church and state. In other words, the state cannot dictate to her what she is to believe and what she is not to believe. You understand what I'm saying? Nebuchadnezzar tried to dictate to these old boys what they could believe and what they could not believe. And I'm telling you, we're living in a land today that the government and the political leaders of our day is telling us that we have to believe what they say and not what God says. I say not so. Thank God for a people that will look that crowd in the eyes and say, I'm staying with God, friend. I'm staying with God. You want to put me in jail? We'll go to jail. He said, blessed are they which are persecuted. Rejoice when they say all manner of evil against you. Thank God that you're found worthy to go to jail for Jesus.
Amen. Yes, sir.
Taking away the rights. Taking away the God. I'm telling you, trying to do away with the Word of God, ladies and gentlemen, it's always been the devil's task to overcome the Word of God. That's what he did in the Garden of Eden. He started second guessing the Word of God, putting doubt in their mind about the Word of God. He's still doing it today. He's still attacking the Word. The Bible says that sodomy is a sin. It's an abomination to God. And marriage is between a man and a woman. That's God's way. And that's the way we ought to leave it. Amen. Sure it is. Kim Davis has taken a stand for what the Bible teaches. That means that her constitutional right of separation of church and state has been violated. I mean, the man-made law has condemned the Constitution and ultimately the Word of God. Ultimately, the Word of God. Do you understand that one of the judges that's going to try her is a man that's an advocate for same-sex marriage? Do you know that in his town he ordered that the kids that skipped out or missed out on a video of homosexual lifestyles being an accepted lifestyle? Do you know that he's tried to pass a law in his town where those kids had to go back and watch that film? He's tried to pass a law where you couldn't opt out. You understand what he's trying to say? You don't have a choice who you're going to serve. You're going to do what we say or you're going to jail. I say let's go to jail. Let's go to jail. Let's stay with God. Amen. He's well worth the trip. Get enough Christians down there in the jailhouse, thank God. We might can have some jailhouse rock. We might can sure enough get something. Amen. You get enough people down there in the jailhouse, and you might get enough of God's people to actually start praying together and rattle that place, and you might see God show up again and convert some old souls. Amen. Get off the easy street for a day or two.
Yes, sir.
Sure. Man, I mean, well, I'll tell you what, I don't want to go to jail for you. I don't want to go to jail for speeding. I don't want to go to jail for shoplifting. But I tell you, if we go to jail for serving Jesus Christ, what a cause. Amen. If we go to jail for standing on the Word of God, what a cause. What a joy. What a blessing. Thank God that God found you worthy to serve Him in a dark place like that. Amen. It's wrong, boy. I'm telling you what they've done to this old gal. It's wrong. And they done the same thing to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And they said, listen, we're not changing. Thank God. I like what Mama said this morning. She said, that girl said, I'm not recanting. That's what old Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said. We're not going back. We're not changing. We're not compromising. We don't care what you say. I'm not apologizing. I'm not apologizing for believing the Word of God. That's right. These fellas serve the Creator instead of the creature. The maker instead of the made. They serve Him. They said, you won't go ahead and turn that fiery furnace up? Turn it up, son. Crank it up. We're going with God. Hey man, they were looking death in the face. Not a jail cell. Not a prison term. They were looking death in the face. They said, hey, it's alright. We're going to serve God anyhow. Amen. I'll show you in a minute. Then they knew. They knew this. I believe this is another reason why they wouldn't bow down. They knew that this image was fashioned. And we serve a God that fashioned us. Not a God that we fashioned. Nebuchadnezzar fashioned this thing, man. It was made like he wanted it. I'm glad we serve a God that fashioned me. Amen. He fashioned you. He made you, and I like what the Sunday school teacher said this morning, but He made you what you are and who you are. And He gave you the talents that He gave you. And He can use you in areas that He ain't gonna use me. But I'm telling you, thank God that we serve a God that wasn't conjured up in the mind of some man or put together in the mind of some human being. But thank God we serve a God that said this, let us make man in our image. Amen. Amen. They served a God of human imagination. Old Nebuchadnezzar and his crowd did. They, little old figment up here. A little thing they conjured up right up here. That's who they served. Well, we see it all the time, son. Men sat around and imagined how this God should be. And they made this thing accordingly. It sounds so familiar to our day. And I'm telling you, I've never seen it so bad as it is today. Everybody has them a little imaginary God. We have so many little imaginary. I mean, God, we can justify everything we do because we've got this imaginary God. I mean, man, I hear it all the stinking time. God don't care. God don't care. I'm going to tell you something. There's a God in that Bible that cares. He said, casting all your care on Him because He cares for you. He's not a careless God. He cares. God cares about the way you carry yourself. He talked about our conversation, our lifestyle. He cares. He cares about the way you dress. He cares about the way you talk. He cares about the conduct of your life. He cares about us. Sure does. But we got people today that serve these gods, and God don't care if I have a social plan, because some freak like Billy Graham got up on television one day, and I heard it with my own ears. I was watching the reprobate as he got up there and condoned in front of all the millions of people and said it's okay to take a social drink every now and then. But because Billy Graham said it, everybody in America almost adopted that wicked heresy philosophy and run with it because they want to be a bunch of drunks. But God said, don't even look upon it, amen.
Amen.
Flip what man said. God said, be not drunk with wine. Be filled with the Spirit. Amen. Don't be drunk with wine. Amen. People have this God that God's not going to put me in a lake of fire for all eternity. He's a loving God. Ladies and gentlemen, that's an imaginary God. That's a fake God. That's a little conjured up God. Because there is a God in heaven that said, if you reject my only begotten Son and the sacrifice he made, I'm going to not put you in hell, but we're going to command the angels to cast your tail into hell. That's right. We're not going to think twice about it. We're not going to struggle with that. We're not going to fret over that. We're not going to be careful for that. We're just going to pick you up and cast you into the lake of fire. Not a problem. That's the God of the Bible, friend. I've had people to tell me, say, well, I'm talking about imaginary gods. I've had people go, man, don't you think that after about 1,000 years of torment, and we'll hopefully get to this, but don't you think after about 1,000 years of torment, that God let people out and give them another chance? I said, friend, don't you realize that just you making that comment was your second chance? That's chance enough to get out of hell altogether. Why even take a chance on spending 1,000 years there? Why take a chance on spending 2 seconds there? Why take a chance on dying without God? Don't take that chance, friend. Because no. Hellfire and the lake of fire is the judgment of God Almighty. And I can promise you one thing. Eyes wide open, son. Every last one of you. We serve a God. This a merciful God. When he drops that hammer of judgment, there'll be no mercy in his judgment. Mercy's gone, son, the day he cast you into hell. Mercy's gone. There's no mercy in the judgment of God. You can't find mercy in the judgment of God. That's not biblical teaching. That's not biblical doctrine. That's not nowhere in your Bible. I'm telling you, when God puts a person into hell, when God casts them into outer darkness, they'll forever and all eternity be in that awful place of torment. Never, 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 never to catch a break. Never, never to be relieved. Never to have their thirst quenched. Never to escape the flames of that fire. Never, never, never. Oh God, there's a God that cares about holiness, ladies and gentlemen. Holiness. God is love. All this little imaginary sissy Jesus that we have today, that he's flipping his wrist and doing his hair, he got his little WWJD bracelets and his little gold chains and his little flip-flops on, and he's twinkling down the little streets. And before he ever became love, he was holy. Amen. Before Jesus, before you ever meet the love of God, you'll run up on the holiness of God. Everybody that ever got saved in that Bible, friend, they ran up on the holiness of God. You know what the holiness did? It showed them their wickedness. It convicted them of their sin. It showed them their wrong. It is that mirror of the law, the holiness of God. God said, ye must be born again. No corruptible seed shall ever enter into heaven. No, friend, God's holy. He's first and foremost holy. And from his holiness comes his love. Amen. Without holiness, the Bible said, no man will see God. Oh, people say, well, I can do this, I can do that, I can live like this. God loves me. I'm telling you, the Bible said, without holiness, you'll never see God. Well, he is love, a friend. He loves his son enough to turn all judgment over to him.
He loves Jesus that much. And I can promise you that if you leave this old world without repenting and letting Him be Lord of your life, He will one day command them angels to cast us into the lake of fire. Not a problem. Not a problem. If you think you'll serve this imaginary God instead of the Christ of the cross, then you, friend, have been trampled on the foot the blood of Jesus Christ. And I promise you there's no mercy in that judgment. Here's four people that stood. Here's four people that are suffering because they're living in a nation that's turned away from God. Hey, folks, so it is in our day and in our nation. This is not a Christian nation anymore. And you're going to have to make a choice one of these days. Are you going to stand with God or are you going to stand with this world? Are you going to stand with the true and living God or are you going to stand with this little conjured up imaginary God? What God you going to serve? I like what Joshua said. Choose you this day. If it seems evil for you, choose you this day. Who you going to serve? Whether the gods of this flood or on this side or on that side. But as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. All right. You figure out who you going to serve. That's right. Somebody asked, how do you know if it's the true and living God? They've asked, how do you know God's the true and living God? I mean, people question God all the time. Because all these little imaginary gods. How do you know your God's the true? You know how I know? I didn't go to school for rocket scientists, but I did go down at the bookstore and bought me a good book. Hey, man. I'm telling you, he's God because this blessed book said he's God. Amen. He said, I am. He said, who shall I say sent me? He said, tell him I am sent you. Amen. He is God. He's God because the book said he was God. Amen. I am he. Hallelujah. I like it. The book said he's God. That's how the scriptures testify of him. Search the scriptures. For they are praying, which do what? They testify of Jesus, son. Ever, that's him. That's him. That's him. How you know it's him? Because the Bible said it was him. Amen. Amen. How you know, preacher, God will walk with you through the fire? Because the Bible said we have a God that'll walk with you through the fire. Amen. How we know it's our God. He's greater than all gods. These old boys said, you know what? We would have to step down to serve your God. Our God is greater. He's greater than all. We serve the greatest God. He is the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords. And if we're going to bow down and serve your God, we're going to have to stoop way down. I'm telling you, if we're going to compromise on God and go with any other old God in this world, you're going to have to stoop way down, friend. You're going to have to go a long ways underneath God to find anything that can even come close to worshiping. I'm telling you, bud, he's so far beyond. He's so much better. He is the great I am. He's our God. Amen. Scriptures testify. This is how we know it's true. He said, that we ought to keep his commandments. That's what he said. Look at verse number 12, Daniel 3:12. What time is it? Oh, yeah, y'all give me a few more minutes, okay? Verse number 12. It says, there are certain Jews whom thou hast set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not regarded thee. They serve not thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou set up. What a testimony. Bunch of stinking tattletale punks. He went there and told on Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They ain't serving your God, King. Can we get a brownie point? Bible says they didn't regard him. I thought, what does that mean? I didn't chase it down too far. They have not regarded thee.
Is that just to take a shortcut? When I looked at the word started looking at it, I seen the word respect, honor, hold at a high esteem. Here's what they said. King, they don't even respect you. They're not honoring you. King Nebuchadnezzar, these little fellas, they don't even hold you in high esteem, man. I'm gonna paraphrase for a second. King, they even asked who you really was. They weren't even sure about you. I mean, they just didn't think much of him. Can I get a witness? I mean, for God in heaven's sakes, man, how do you hold somebody at high regards when they're going against your God? I didn't say you shouldn't pray for them. Yeah, you should pray for them, and you can see that in the end of this book. You should pray for them. That's right. You should want to get saved and try to get them saved. But son, I'll tell you what, I hope most of our political leaders, hey look, I hope they fail. I hope their agendas fail. I hope they flop. I hope what they're trying to get done don't get done. Because what they're trying to do ain't for the cause of Christ. It ain't for the furtherance of the gospel. It's against God. And I just say, let's promote Jesus. Amen. The hold in respect, they didn't have much affection towards him. I wonder if the truth was told and we were to be asked who we regarded, what would our answer be? Wow. Who you looking up to? Who sits on the throne of your heart? Who's your mentors? Who's your heroes? That's right, bud. I see people that sit in church every week. They worship people like 50 Cent, Lil Wayne. I mean, can you believe that? They idolize these people, man. They hold them in high regard, son. I wonder sometimes if the Lord was to ask us, and we can't lie to him, he knows our heart, who are you holding at high regards? I wonder what our honest answer would be, who's on the top of our list. I wonder. If your desires or plans, I wonder if your desires or your plans or your ambitions in life got between you and God, what you going to go with? You going to go with your plans? You going to go with your ambitions? You going to go with your dreams? You going to go with your desires? Your desires contradict God? We'd be doing well to let them dreams go. I ain't talking about being cocky or arrogant, but honestly and humbly serving God with all of our hearts. That's what I'm talking about. Just serving the Lord with all of our hearts. Ain't that what he said? That great commandment, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. Huh? Thank God. I like that this morning, Zach. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as yourself. It's amazing how easy it is to look upon me and see what I need and even what I want. But then there's people all around me that loves God, that has needs in their life, and I couldn't care less. Hey, how about loving your neighbor? How about loving your neighbor? You see your neighbor in need and you don't reach out. Hey, listen, friend, you ain't right with God. You're right with God. If you ain't suffering with those that suffer, you ain't right with God. That's right. It's exactly right. We got away from that stuff because we got these little imaginary gods. I don't want to promote meanness or hatefulness, but I do want to promote faithfulness. I do think we should get it settled in our heart and our mind just who it is exactly we're going to serve and serve him, and don't let nothing or nobody stop us or get in our way. And they'll look at you and go, he's so hateful. No, it ain't. You're just faithful. It ain't hateful. It's faithful. Sometimes when company wants to come over and you go, hey, y'all stay all you want to, I'm going to the house of God. Boy, that was rude. Hey, be rude, buddy, if that's what the world wants to call it. God calls it faithful. Mm-hmm. Amen. Right. Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. Amen. That's good. He's talking about that, and I was thinking about, and here I am completely off, but I forgot to make my announcement that, Michael, I was thinking about this meeting that we're wanting to have, and I was trying to think of some way that we can incorporate, Brother McVeigh to come in and Ray Bearden to come in
you know, just try to balance it out and come up with the money to take care of both of God's men. And I was thinking about doing something down there in Statesville to help, you know, make it a little bit easier on the people driving 3 hours, you know, per service. And we can all balance it out and meet somewhere and do something a little different. And I told McVay, I said, you know, a lot of times if you're riding a bus, you and the person in the seat next to you can talk about the Lord Jesus Christ, and to all the people around you, they'll begin to eavesdrop. You don't even have to tell nobody about Jesus. You can just talk to the person beside you. Or in a restaurant, people around you just kind of get nosy. Yeah. I said, man, we can go down there and get us a motel, maybe rent us a little conference center down there. I said, everybody coming in and out might hear something about the Lord Jesus. Amen. So that's it. God, I was telling the story for him. I'm trying to think what I'm telling the story for. Well, I was just thinking about having this meeting. And I thought, well, you know, McVay said, why don't you have it at the end of the week instead of the beginning of the week? If you used to have it at the end of the week, we could do two services on Saturday and maybe do it Thursday and Friday. And Michael and them, they could stay. All they'd have to drive up would be one night. And they could just stay all the way to Sunday. I mean, I'm just saying, it's just something trying to make things, you know what I'm saying? Just trying to make things easy for people, man. And being considerate of other people. And we just try to, y'all pray that God will work it out somehow where, you know, it's easy for us. And when it's God's will, it'll be easy. God will work all that. Hey, it may not be easy. I shouldn't say it may not be. You might have to fight a little bit. That's right. When God's in it, the devil's going to try to stick his head up. Well, next, these men knew that this God was only a myth. Look at verses 13 and 14. I won't preach. We'll just read through it, okay? Then Nebuchadnezzar, in his rage and fury, commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. You go get them little rebels. Yeah. Yeah. My God, look here, old king. They're not going to listen. Hey, go get them little rebels. Bless God, I'll show them a thing or two. They're going to listen to me. Old big shot sitting up there. He said, then they brought these men before the king. It didn't say they come a fighting, son. And my boy said, yeah, okay, no problem. Let's go. I like it, man. Let's go see him. Yeah, we serving him. We'll go see you, king. Don't make no difference to us. Who is he? We know the God that hung them moons and stars. And all. Who is he? We'll go see him. Come on. Well, then verse 14 says, Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, do not ye serve my gods nor worship the golden image which I have set up? Look at verse 15. Now if ye be ready, that at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harps, remember I said, all of his little music, the sagbut, psaltery, the dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the image which I have made. Here's what's happened, apparently, Zach. He said, now if y'all be ready, apparently there might have been a few compromisers that they'd been brought down there before. And they said, we're going to stand for God until the heat got on. And then they brought them out there and they saw that fiery furnace. And they said, oh, wait a minute, King. We'll worship this God.
Yeah.
Yeah, little Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He said, now, y'all see all this? Huh? Here y'all with a big dog. Now you ready? Listen, when you hear the music, I want you to bow down. We're not bowing down, King. We're not ready now. We're not ready. We wasn't ready then. And we're not going to ever be ready. We're going to stand our ground, King. We're not going to serve your God. No, sir. I like it. I like it, man. Then he said, but if ye worship not, ye shall be cast the same hour into the midst of the fiery furnace. Boy, he's a politician, ain't he? Who is that God? He said, who is that God? Capital G, that shall deliver you out of my hands. You know what? I think he asked an honest question. I honestly think he asked an honest question. I don't think he knew God. I don't think anybody had ever showed him God. I don't think he ever seen God in nobody. I believe he might have met a few compromisers because he thought maybe Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego was going to change their mind and bow down after a while.
But once he seen them old boys take their stand, he went, something about this. Who is this God that's going to deliver you out of my hands? Capital G. All these G's are little, but except the real one, because he's greater. And then they said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. They said, man, we don't even have to think about that. They said, we're so glad you asked. Man, we've been wanting to tell you. I'm telling you, king, we've been chomping at the bits to tell you about this God. Amen. Do you know what Matthew 10:18-19 says? Jesus said, and ye shall be brought before governors and kings for my sake. Jesus said this. For a testimony against them and the Gentiles. But when they deliver you up, take no thought how or what ye shall speak. For it shall be given you in that same hour what ye shall speak. Bible said, be careful for nothing. They wasn't worried about it, friend. When the king said, who's going to deliver you? They said, man, thank God, we're glad you asked. We want to tell you a little bit about our God now. Amen. Look at what they said. Oh boy, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said unto him, O Nebuchadnezzar, we're not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, if you do put us in the fire, that's what they said. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. That's our God. Man, I like it. I'm trying to hurry. I'm trying to wrap it up. These old boys knew that their God was a consuming fire. They knew that he had led the children of Israel through the wilderness by fire. And they knew that if Nebuchadnezzar threw them into the fire, they knew that if Nebuchadnezzar was to even take his God and throw his God into that fire, their God would burn. They knew that. They knew it would perish, but they knew they was going to be all right. And they couldn't be any gladder to tell him what they knew. They knew if he was God enough to do all that, as far as bringing them children out of the Red Sea, feeding them manna in the wilderness, hey, blessing Abraham like he blessed all the things that God ever did, that he could take care of them too. He knew that. Golly, I'm trying to move on. Glancing at some of my notes. King Nebuchadnezzar was a wicked rascal. He never saw God, did not know God, but when he saw them four people in the furnace, hey, I'm trying to be done. Zach, when them boys got put in the fire furnace, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, Nebuchadnezzar was mad, his pride was, you know, just roaring and all that. And when he threw them in there, he got to looking and said, well, we all know, did we not put three men in that fire? They said, yeah. He said, well, how come I see four? He said, that fourth one, that looks like the Son of God. Wait a minute. He never knew God. He never seen God. How did he know that looked like the Son of God? I'll tell you what I think, Zach. First of all, I think that Jesus Christ was not the fourth man in the fire. I don't believe that. I never will believe Jesus Christ was the fourth man in that fire. No. I don't believe it. I believe Jesus Christ was the first man in that fire. Amen. I believe he was the first one that he put Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and Abednego was the fourth man. I believe Jesus Christ never went anywhere or put me anywhere that he hadn't already been. I don't think he's ever asked me to go anywhere that he's not already made a way for me, son. I believe Jesus Christ was in that fire waiting on them old boys. And I believe God manifested his son in the eyes of that old wicked king. And he saw Jesus Christ. And I tell you what I think. I think although he's never seen him, he didn't know him, he didn't know God. But I promise you, when you see him, you know him. When you see Jesus, when you see the King of Glory, when you see the Prince of Peace and the Prince of Life, son, you don't have to wonder, is that him? You don't have to wonder, hey, bud, he's so far above all the other gods. When you do get a glimpse of God, you know without a shadow of doubt it was God. You don't have to guess, is that God? You just know That's Him, amen, that's Him. That's our God, friend. If you ever see Him, you'll know it. People sitting around, I'm not sure. Hey, friend, if you're not sure, go ahead and mark her down. You ain't seen Him. You ain't got no glimpse of Him. You ain't been in on that glory. I can promise that when you see Him, I don't believe anyone will have to beg you to serve Him. Amen? I don't believe when you see the Lord Jesus Christ, anybody have to say, hey, man, how about coming to church? Hey, man, you said you got saved. I'm talking about seeing Jesus. You get saved, okay? I believe when you get that, son, I don't believe no visitation committee has to come, ask you to come to church. I don't believe you have to be pumped up with Hebrews 10:25. I believe, thank God, when you see Him, oh boy, all you want to do is get back to where He is. Amen.
Right.
Sit at His feet.
Amen.
You say, what gives you the proof? Hey, listen, when they brought and put them old boys in that fire furnace, the servants that took them over there, they said, turn it up 7 times, Hobbit. They said, we don't care what you do. We're going to come out this thing okay, King. And the people that took them over there, the Bible said it killed them. It burned them up. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego just walked around. They weren't kicking and screaming. They weren't fighting. Son, they were so glad to be serving God in a fiery furnace. Hey, listen. They got in there and walked around and had a revival meeting, son, in that fiery furnace. Then the Bible said He opened it up and let them out. And their clothes wasn't even burned. Watch this. He had seen the Lord. He had seen the Lord. You know what He did? He went and destroyed that old false god. Hey! And He set up a place where they could go worship the true and living God. That old king got converted. Here's what he said. Anybody that says a word against the God of Daniel, if you got a word to say against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, we'll cut your head off. We'll kill you and turn your house into a dunghill. Amen. You say, what happened? I believe the old boy got converted. He got rid of them false gods, son, and said, I'll tell you what we're going to do. He did what Joshua said, as for me in this nation, as for me in this country, we're going to serve God. And if you don't serve God, we're going to kill you. I like it. Amen. You say something about the true and living God in this country, we're going to kill you, friend. I liked it. Man. You say, why? Because he saw the Lord. He saw the Lord in the fire. Amen. You ever get a good glimpse of Him, son, I'm telling you, you'll realize there ain't no other gods. The Bible said, thou shalt have no other gods before Me. I'm going to tell you something. You ever see Him, you won't have no other. You don't want no other gods before Him. Sure. Believe that. You know what the problem is? Michael, I'm closing my Bible. You know what the problem is? He said it to us over in the book of Revelation. This Laodicean church, John David, he said, you're blind. He said, but I tell you what you need. You need the eyesight of God. So you can get a glimpse of Me. You want to see Me? You're going to have to get, what's that eyesight? It's the same thing as that balm of Gilead. It's the precious word of God. You got to take that blessed book right there and let it open your eyes. And but I'm telling you, when that balm gets to rubbing on your eyes, when that salve gets to wiping across your eyes, then God removes the scale and you begin to see Jesus. Thank God. I tell you what, we're going to find you faithfully and frequently and joyfully. We're going to find you somewhere saturated in the Word of God. We'll find you somewhere turning through the pages. We'll turn and find you somewhere in a church testifying that the Bible said, weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. We'll find you somewhere talking about the precious Word of God. Amen.
Right,
believe that. I believe that, friend.
Lord.
I believe when God starts letting you see that thing right there, letting you see Him, I believe you can't help but to testify and say, I tell you what, man, I don't want to hear nobody say nothing bad about my God. He saved me. He loved me. He gave Himself for me. I don't care what y'all do, who y'all serve. We're going to just go with God. We're going with God. I said a while ago, I believe it's a good place to raise a family. I just do. Because I tell you what's in my heart. I want this church to just go with God. May never run 100 people. Be nice if we did. But it's all right with me if we don't. As long as the Lord builds the church and adds to it as it pleases Him. He works out all the schisms Himself. Son, God don't never want but one opinion in the house of God. And it's His. And it's written right there in them pages. Amen. God don't want people in the house of God that's contrary to His Word. He don't want all them different. It's God's way or no way, friend. And that's the way I want to see this church go. Just go with God. I want to see John David go with God. You know, I sit at the house sometimes, JD, or not at the house, on the job, or in my prayer closet, or just reading my Bible. It's anywhere, and you can pop in my mind. I think, man, what a blessing it'd be to see old JD sell out to God. Wouldn't it be a blessing to see a young man in his church raised up in here just give his heart and life to God and just give God the best years of his life and commit himself unto the Lord and say, Lord, heal my, use me. Take me, God, do what you want and let God just use you for the glory of God. I think about that stuff. I think about them little girls back there. God raising them up. I think about what He can do with them in the years. I think about Kaylee and how God can use. I thought about Steve talking about that home this week. I thought about some of the women in this church in that kitchen cooking for them boys. Amen. I thought about, well, wouldn't it be a blessing to see them over there laboring in that kitchen for the cause of Christ? Wouldn't that be a blessing? Yeah. Over in the laundry room washing in sheets. Yeah. Amen. That'd be a blessing. Enough workers around here, son, to get the job done.
Sure.
What? Let them wash their own drawers. It's good. Father, we thank you for this day. I thank you, Lord, for the precious word of God. Lord, I just skipped and ran all around it. But Lord, I think this congregation gets the gist that there's no God like our God. And there's no God worth serving like the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. God, you've been so good to us. Help us, Lord, not to compromise. Help us, God, not to sell out for fortunes and, God, for popularity. Help us, dear God, not to sell out for a crowd. And, God, help us not to sell out for family. And, Lord, help us just to stay true to the Word of God, to walk, Lord, in the old paths. I pray, God, that you'd help us to be thy servant till the day we die. I pray, God, that you'd purge us and clean us and wash us, Lord. And I pray, God, that we, God, could be holy in thy presence. And Lord, what we do around here would be pleasing to you. I pray, God, when you pass by this way, Lord, it'd be a place that you want to stop and make your abode. I pray, oh God, that you'd help us just to be true servants of the Lord. Help us, God, to seek you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Amen.